WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. Brexit edition. Sunday morning. It is June 26th. And we're here talking about Brexit and what it means for your investments and your portfolio. I know that there was a big shock to some extent this week. Most of that shock was because it was an unexpected outcome. The market doesn't like uncertainty, but the market really doesn't like it when it is completely blindsided from something that it expected to go the other way. And odds makers, markets, all were trading on Brexit not happening, meaning Britain/the UK not leaving the European Union. And they did. And that was, it was close. It was a very close vote. Around 30 million people voted. 52% said, we want out of here. And that's what happened. So that was the outcome on Thursday night. It was like triple overtime football game, or as I watched it unfold, thinking, well, I can't believe this is actually going this way. And futures went right along with that. Down 600 points, 500 points. Market opened down 500, rallied back a little bit, and at the end of the day sold off down 600 points on the Dow. That sounds like a lot, but remember that we had been up about 330 points from Monday to Thursday. So if you went to bed on Monday night and woke up Saturday morning, you would see a market that was down 1.5% on the week. That's a garden variety down week. We have that all the time. We've had 3% down weeks in the last year or so. The reality here is that the week as a whole was not that bad. But we do have to worry about the continuation of all the new political possibilities that could happen when it comes to the European Union. Grexit, Frexit, Departure, Italy, Checks Out, Austria, Finnish. These are all the terms that we could see over the next year as each country raises their hand and says, hey, we want a referendum too. We may not want to be carrying the weight here. A big part of this, though, and part of what the UK is seeing here is that they felt as though they were... And they're an economic power within the European Union, or no longer, or over the next couple of years as they logistically leave the UK, because it's not something that happens overnight. This will take 2 years to actually come to fruition. Germany is an economic power. The UK is an economic power. And to some extent, they have pulled along and funded the debts of so many of the other countries that we talked about back in the Greek debt crisis. Remember the pigs? Portugal, Italy, some of these other countries that have economically are not carrying their weight within the EU. Spain, as another example, Portugal, Italy, Spain, these are countries that have bigger debt loads. They haven't been growing as quickly as some of these other UK or European Union economies, and they don't like carrying the load. And that's part of why the UK left. This is also very clearly an anti-establishment vote. The politicians here haven't done anything for us over they haven't done enough for us over the last several years. And they want out. And that's the same thing that we see happening with the GOP here in the United States. Donald Trump is of course an anti-establishment vote. Whether you like him or not, it's the frustration of slow growth in America since the great financial crisis that's led to him becoming the nominee. And it's the same thing that could have him potentially beat Hillary Clinton. People are frustrated, and frustration only goes so long. And this is one of the first times I can remember that the populace votes against their wallet. They voted against their wallet, meaning that it's widely been reported that the UK leaving the EU will shave off 2 to 5% in gross domestic product. That could cost each household $6,000 per year, yet they voted to do it anyway. That could potentially be the same thing here. Our elections in the United States are very much, they're economically based. It's the economy, stupid. That's election after election. But maybe that changes here. Maybe Americans are frustrated enough that they're going to vote more for an anti-establishment that gets prioritized beyond just the dollars and cents of the election, because the majority of America is that fed up with Washington. 8 years of Obama, 8 years of an economy that has been okay, but just not all that great. And there are giant pockets of our population that have seen zero wage growth, that they've been stagnated for the last 8 years. Millions of Americans are in that camp. And we've got this gigantic income inequality in America. Sure, Wall Street's done really well. The stock market is up. But how impactful is that for the broader economy? Well, the answer is not so much. And that's exactly why this anti-establishment vote is happening here in the United States. It obviously just happened in the UK, and it could happen throughout the world. We are seeing a political sea change here. Now, does it mean that our markets and our economies fall off a cliff? No, it doesn't. Does it mean our stock market dives? Not necessarily at all. But it does mean that there's political change coming. And I doubt anybody would disagree with that. By the way, we didn't do the weather. It's going to be ridiculously hot and oppressive for the rest of the summer, including today. 30% chance of showers. And that weather brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air, who I love. And let's continue with this. The number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's the number here in the studio. And let's continue on with, really we need to go to the phones here, but I will say, we've already talked about what this means for U.S. markets, how this is going to impact your 401k plan. I want people to be careful about target date funds. Target date funds have historically been very heavy internationally based. There's a huge percentage in a lot of these funds that are internationally focused. I look at the Vanguard Target 25, 2025, T. Rowe Price Target 2025, for Retirement 2025, Fidelity Freedom 2025. These funds have 26%, 26%, 23% in international holdings. That's a big percentage. Even though I like target date funds because they're diversified and they migrate to become more conservative over time as you get closer to retirement, these are significant bets on international. And right now, those bets are looking misguided. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Where are we headed first here, James? We're going to line three. Don joins us from Marietta. Don, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on, my friend?
Good morning. I'm enjoying this program a lot this morning, by the way.
We're doing our best.
It's really interesting because it really focuses on investing. I like that. I'm wondering what to do with my international component of my portfolio. I'm 77, and I try to keep a 50-50 mix. That's a number that is good for my needs.
And good for your psyche. Now, when you say a 50-50 mix, you mean half in the stock market side and half in the bond side, or half yeah. U.S., half international?
No, half in stocks and half in bonds.
That's what I thought.
And my international component is about 12.5%.
Here's the other question, though. If I take a look inside that international exposure, is it mostly the developed international world, i.e. Europe and some of the Asian countries like Japan, or is it emerging markets, China, India, Brazil?
I don't do Asia much, and I don't do emerging markets much. I would have done those 40 years ago, but I'm a little more conservative than that now. Mostly it's in things like Oakmark International, good international funds.
So blue chip, almost supranational. So I think of a company like Unilever as an international company that is Europe's version of Procter & Gamble here in the United States. So Procter & Gamble does business here, but also does business in 180-plus countries around the world. Unilever does the same thing. They just happen to be based in Europe. And my thought here for you is that there are plenty of these companies that are going to be they're going to be completely fine. Big blue chip international companies or supernationals, as I will call them, I think they're going to be fine. One thing to understand and recognize that doesn't get talked about enough is the currency impact. And when you have, let's say you own an international company that's based in pounds, so not our currency, and the pound goes down 10% in a day, then you as a United States holder of an issue that is in a foreign currency, pounds, you automatically get a 10% negative hit just because of the currency. Forget what the stock does. So that's just on a currency perspective. So you've got to understand that if you're going to be invested in Europe, you are very much invested in the companies that you own, but you're also invested in the euro and you're invested in the pound.
Right. I ran into that way back when I was working, when our European components would report their earnings. You either lived or died on where the dollar was.
So one thought that we've had now and practiced for a couple of years with our team has to do with owning international, but owning international companies, hedging out the currency. Now, that sounds gobbledygook and it sounds a little complicated. However, there are several ETFs that just by nature do that. Oh. So you could buy an ETF that has companies in the Eurozone that just hedges out the euro. And it has no impact or has very little impact on the underlying value of your ETF. And to me, that's a big part of what I think that is the way we want to approach investing over at least the intermediate term right now, because currencies in the UK, in Europe, have more volatility than stocks themselves. And if you layer those two together, the currency and the equity positions, you've got an awful lot. So I like to use I have now for a long time been using these ETFs to own international that just hedge out the currency. At least that'll make for a much steadier ride. And at least you take away or take out one of the biggest variables that has been hurting us or has been hurting investors for a long time now, and just got worse this week. 404-872-0750, the number in the studio. Quick news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters straight ahead here on WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Putting these downdrafts into context. Good morning, welcome to Money Matters. Wes Moss here. We talked about crisis events. I went back and looked at 51 of these all the way back to 1907. The list now will contain 52 because Brexit will be on this list historically forever. Panic of 1907, market crash 27, Pearl Harbor, Cuban Missile Crisis, JFK assassinated, Arab oil embargo, financial panic 87, the Asian stock market crisis in 97. 9/11, Lehman Brothers collapse. All of these geopolitical events, all of these events led to market sell-offs. The average market sell-off, if you add them all up and look at the mean or the average, it's going to be about 7% sell-off. If you wait a half a year, so 126 trading days later, markets are up 9% since the end of the sell-off. 8.9 to be exact. So we sell off about 7. Half a year later, you're up 9. So you're up and you're actually net positive about 2%. A year later after these events, on average, markets up about 14%. So these events, these geopolitical shocks, take us down on average about 7%. A year later, on average, from these shocks, up 14, so a net 7. That's the reality of crisis events and what they do, what this does to markets. These are not easy events to go through. That's what makes investing so difficult. It's highly emotional. It's highly uncertain. As humans, we are scared of the dark because we don't know what lies ahead. And that's a scenario that we find ourselves in today. This is not a scenario where all of a sudden economic activity is going to cease in the UK or the Eurozone. It's not going to happen, or the European Union, or for that matter, the United States. In our economy, there are several indicators. In fact, the majority of indicators point towards a continued economy with about 2 to 2.5% growth. So the wheels aren't falling off here in the United States at all. and that should give you solace as an investor moving forward over this next year. We're going to continue the conversation. Visit me and the Money Matters team, WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com, Facebook page, Wes Moss Money Matters. More straight ahead right here on WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. Remember the Big Island. So this is just a quick update on the geography of the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom is, it's four separate, well, it's four nations to some extent all put together into one. So it's England, which is in the south of the Big Island. Scotland is above that. Wales is to the west of that. So it's those three plus the tip of Ireland called Northern Ireland. All four of those, that makes up the UK. Great Britain, and this is where there's some confusion, is really just those first three. It's the main island with England, Scotland, Wales. So technically Great Britain isn't Northern Ireland, but Northern Ireland in those other three is the UK. But let's confuse you even more. All four of those together call themselves British citizens of the United Kingdom. Just a little trivia. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11. We've been up really working around the clock to make sure people are informed about Brexit and what Brexit really means, what it means for your portfolio. I was up Thursday night till 2:30 in the morning watching this unfold, trying to write and advise people on what to do. Friday, I sent out a big letter to our clients to make sure they understood what Brexit means. I wrote an article for the AJC that's in there this weekend in print and online, of course. And then I did a video on Friday, about a 10-minute Brexit video that goes through the four bullet points I think that are most relevant. So the questions I'm getting most frequently right now are, what does it mean for US markets? Two, how does this impact your 401k? Three, what does it mean for the US economy? Four, what's next for the UK? And then five, what should you do now as a US-based investor? That video is on wesmoss.com, or Mallory, our marketing coordinator, is putting that up there today. Let's see, what is she saying? Our normal Facebook video coding for the site is taking some time, taking longer than I thought. So the good news here is we'll just pin the video to the Facebook page. So I'm going to say, Mallory, pin to top. So this is all real time happening, and that'll be on Wes Moss Money Matters. So that's already gotten an awful lot of views. You'll see it if you just go to Wes Moss Money Matters. It'll be the top story, which is just a quick video. It's about a 10-minute video explaining what Brexit means for your portfolio, for the outlook for the next several months. Now, as far as what this means for the US economy, remember here that our economy has been okay. In fact, we just got a big set of data in this week that had to do with banks. So the US banks did very well in the Fed stress test that was just released this week. So there was a regulatory minimum of tier one capital. It's effectively how much money the banks have if we go into an issue or a crisis. And most of the big, really, they're 33 banks really did very well. Now, some of them were close to the minimum, but the big banks are in good shape. Bank of America, JP Morgan, Goldman, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, State Street. As far as they're concerned as banks, they pass these tests. So that's good news and a good sign, because our banking system is also the bedrock of the economy. It has to be stable, or else the rest of the economy can't function. Economic chime, consumer spending, housing, interest rates, manufacturing, employment, doing fine. So consumer spending trending up 4% over this past quarter. Housing continues to do very well. Existing home sales at their highest level in more than 9 years. Interest rates, money has been cheap, and it's going to stay cheap. Now, Fed, this puts the whole Fed on hold. The uncertainty of Brexit will make interest rates stay low for another extended period of time. Part of the reason we saw some economically or interest rate sensitive investments do really well on Friday. So bonds were up a lot on Friday. Flight to quality, yields go down, prices go up. For all those questioning why you would ever have these safe assets, the answer, look at your portfolio on Friday. Utilities, that's, of course, those are equities, but they're also interest rate sensitive because we own them for the yield, and they are also relatively have high debt load, so utility companies don't necessarily love higher interest rates. It's more expensive for them. Utilities were net positive on Friday. So the world's here, the U.S. and international markets took a big hit Friday. There were areas here in the United States, stock-wise, that actually went up. Defense companies went up. Lockheed Martin was relatively flat. Raytheon was up. So you see some of these defense companies and then defensive companies, not to be confused, did very well on Friday. Manufacturing continues to actually do well. We'll see where that goes now with the fluctuation in currencies. But as the last report, the U.S. economy or U.S. manufacturing is actually in expansion mode, far above where we started at the beginning of the year. And then employment. We know that we had a shaky jobs report for May, but the unemployment rate stands at 4.7%. There, part of that is that we've had people drop out of the labor force, and it's not a pure 4.7%, which is a relatively good number. But the employment market has certainly repaired itself to a large extent, and certainly still some time to go. What's next for the UK? Remember that when they leave the EU, it's going to take a long time. It's going to be a two-year process. So nothing, and technically there's no precedent for a country leaving, so it's going to take some time for this to be worked out. It's going to hit their economy. So it could shave off as much as 4 to 6% of their gross domestic product over the next, call it 15 years. That could cost the average household around $6,000 per year. That's a pretty big number. So you're certainly going to, we could see a contraction in the economy, the economy of the UK. Remember, we don't have a huge amount of reliance upon them. Our exports to the UK are less than 1% of the whole, less than 1% out of 100% contribution for our own GDP. So it's just because they slow down a little bit in itself has almost zero impact on our economy. Again, the worry here is more about the European Union continuing to unravel and having the whole continent slow down. So what do you do? And I'll finish up the show with this. Well, I'll get back to this as far as what we do. But I do want to go to the phones. We've had a lot of calls on hold. James Lewis is... Well, okay, James Lewis is telling me where we're headed here. We're going to go to Joe, who joins us in Smyrna. Joe, let's get back to a little bit of planning, because we've talked about Brexit ad nauseum for the last 2 hours. Maybe it's time for a little bit of a reprieve here and just a good old-fashioned financial question. What's going on? How can I help?
Thanks. I've got a question. We have been going on vacation with the whole family for about 16 years, and my parents, who are in their lower 80s, were wanting to set up a trust to have this continue on, after they're gone.
The vacation house?
It's not a vacation house. It's just we take a week and rent a, basically it's different places year to year. It's typically the same place, but it could be different places, but it's all, 26 to 30 of us in the family.
That sounds so fun.
Yeah, and they pay for everything, and, we basically been doing it for 16 years. And my dad was asking me if I knew of anybody that knew about trust planning to where they could potentially set up a trust for this vacation in the future years.
These sound like some of the coolest parents on the planet, Joe. A, they do the trip. B, they pay for it. And C, they want it to continue in perpetuity.
Yeah,
so that's awesome. It sounds like a dream for any family to set up. And the fact that y'all can still get along, all 30 of you together, and continue to do the trip says a lot. So that's awesome. Now, the good thing about estate planning, which is legacy planning, which is about what your money today does in the future, the great thing about this, and I think of it as just a blank canvas, there's almost, you can think of anything you can think of, Joe, that you want to have happen in the future can be painted upon this blank canvas. And then it can all just be put into words and into a trust, and then those wishes are carried out effectively almost in perpetuity. And so all you have to do, and your parents would do this, is sit down with an estate planning attorney, say, we want to put, let's call it $50,000 into a vacation trust to some extent. And I don't know if there's really such a thing called a vacation trust, but it just might be a testamentary trust, or it might be a generational trust. There's a lot of different things we can call this, but really it's about the verbiage that says this money is set aside for this purpose. And you can determine the purpose, whether it's to continue to contribute to a charity every year or contribute to a vacation every year. That is something that you can put into a legal document and have carried out for a very, very long time. So from what you're telling me here is that I would, and I'm not an estate planning attorney, and that's what an estate planning attorney would do. That's what they do for a living, is draw the kind of trusts up. I've seen this type of thing done many times, and it's absolutely possible, and I think it's an awesome idea. So just remember that whatever your wishes are can be put into trust form. Of course, it's got to be funded, and it can be funded today. Here's the other thing. It can be funded today, or it can be funded upon the passing of your parents in the future. That can all be put into the verbiage of this trust, and then it's there for perpetuity. Now, you're going to have some sort of trustee or some sort of somebody in charge of that once your parents are no longer with us. And that gets a little more complicated, particularly when you have 30 family members. I mean, who's in charge? Who gets to pull who controls the purse strings? That gets a little bit complicated, Joe. But it can be done. And I think it's an awesome idea. So if you want to, and I have a list of 5 or 6 different estate planning attorneys that I've worked with for many, many years here in the Atlanta area. You can just send me an email and I can send you a list of a couple people to call and talk to. And this is not even this isn't even that complicated. It doesn't even need to be expensive planning. Email me at, you can go to the website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. There's a contact button at the top or on the right side. And those emails, that email contact form will come straight to me. And the Money Matters team and I have a list. I've sent this list out many, many times on a group of people that are in the business of drawing up these trusts specifically to your wishes or your parents' wishes. If you can think it, it will become a reality in the future with a little bit of planning. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. The majority of today, we've been talking about Brexit and the impact on markets, the impact on you and your investments. I wrote an article for the AJC that is online this weekend, 5 ways Brexit impacts your investments. I did a 10-minute video as well on Facebook. So if you go to the Facebook page, Wes Moss Money Matters, there's a quick video that explains everything about Brexit and how it impacts you. We pinned it to the top of the Facebook page, so you should be able to see it. All you have to do is like it or follow the page, and you can see it right away. More Money Matters straight ahead right here on WSB.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. The UK has left the European Union, and it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It's time for WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. James Lewis, what's the question, and what's the prize pack?
The prize pack is a family 4-pack of adventure passes to Stone Mountain and a pair of tickets to see the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra's Music of Star Wars on September 10th at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Going with the Star Wars theme, the question is, who is the composer of the Star Wars music? Prize line, 404-741-0750.
I was thinking it was Hans Zimmer, and that's wrong. So it's somebody else. So I was totally wrong on that. Let's wrap up today. There are plenty of things that we need to think about, and we're in a new political regime as the anti-establishment vote around the world is very real. And that's what we just saw in the UK. They want out because they feel as though this whole union isn't working for them. And they might as well be on their own, is what the people voted. And that's where we stand, and that could very well be a big part of our election here into the fall. What do you do, though, here as an investor? The Brexit vote is going to, it creates a lot of uncertainty. It's going to send markets will be spinning to some extent over the next day and maybe several weeks. But if you're a ways out from retirement, several years, you've got to be able to press on and continue to save and invest in your company plan or your retirement plan or your individual plans. That's what these pullbacks are all about. Market pullbacks are opportunities. And despite the fear and anxiety that get generated by all of this in the news, don't let the doom and gloom headlines you see over the next couple of weeks and months, don't let them scare you. The world's not ending here. The UK is not falling off the map. They're just detaching themselves from the EU, and they'll still trade with the EU. They'll still trade with the rest of the world. They're just going to have to renegotiate those contracts. So don't let the doom and gloom headlines you see coming in the next several days or weeks scare you. Remember, newspapers in the business is selling newspapers. I love the newspapers. I write for the AJC. It's wonderful, but they've got to sell newspapers. So we've got to understand that these are opportunities. Diversified investors, particularly if you're U.S. weighted, you will be fine through this turbulence here. I'm going to continue to keep you updated. Something new happens, I'll do a Facebook Live video. There's one right now on Wes Moss Money Matters on the Facebook page. It's a 10-minute video that explains everything we talked about today. And we will continue to keep you updated as things unfold. Enjoy the rest of this hot Sunday here in Atlanta, and stay tuned to more WSB. Have a wonderful Sunday.